Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. You know, there seems to be a lot of interest in the end times recently, and in late December, the History Channel aired a program entitled Revelation. And after watching their portrayal of what is to come, I felt it important to turn to the Word of God first for God's revelation. So grab your Bible this morning, because you're going to need it, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Again, that's the book of Matthew, chapter 24. As we'll be referencing several passages throughout the program, but let's open with prayer. So, Father God, creator of all things, we come before you to seek your revelation into your word, not as the world sees it, but as you have declared it to be. Give us hearts and ears to hear your voice as we speak to your son's return and your plans for us in those days, and the hope and glory that awaits those who endure. Amen. So let's open up with a passage from Matthew 24, specifically verses 13, 14, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version this morning. But he who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, I couldn't think of a better person to ask to help us walk through Matthew 24 in light of these end times than my dear friend Dr. John Swanson, who is the founder of Endurance Ministries. And he's dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them and the truth that matters, sound biblical teaching. And his ministry addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological end times data in God's Word. So thank you, John, for agreeing to help us wrestle with this issue. And, you know, we have a lot to cover. So let's start by me asking you, what are the two explicit topics of inquiry raised by the disciples in verse 3?
Okay, in the first two verses, we see them coming off the temple area. And then in verse 3, it says that Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. And then it says, his disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So it's clarifying the context of this, what's known as the Olivet Discourse, but it's Jesus' teaching on the specifics of what will the days look like prior to your return, your coming.
So I also know that you believe there is a progression in the events outlined in Matthew 24.
I do, because of the context, there are many indicators as to a progression that our Lord is teaching. So it does get into chronological concerns, Leslie, yes.
Well, and there's a word in there that keeps coming up, and the word is then.
It's the word then. I was going to say tata from the Greek, but yes, then.
Well, if you were to ask us, the common folks out here, what the progression of the events would be, I'm not sure that we would all put it in the correct biblical order, as there are those who believe in pre-tribulation and mid-tribulation and post-tribulation. You, however, have put together what you believe to be the progression of events based on God's Word. And based on your study of God's Word, would you walk us through this progression of events?
Okay. Well, in summary, just a quick little gloss of the chapter, we find chronological address in verses 3 through 31. So the first few verses, we have this thing called the time of sorrows or the birth pains. In verses 4 through 8, that's described. Then the word verse 9, Jesus is actually emphasizing tribulation and difficult times and describes that. And in that course of paragraph, as far as the then comes the tribulation, after describing particulars of the tribulation period, he then says there's going to be toward the tail end of the tribulation, great tribulation. And verse 15 and following address that. It goes through the verse of 22 as far as addressing the great tribulation. In verse 23, we find another then. We're moving on to, okay, after this. And it closes in verse 22 with these days, these great tribulation days, will be cut short for the elect's sake. So they're cut short, then something else happens. So we're trying to honor Scripture as to what the text actually says. So there are these chronological aspects, but it doesn't just stop at the false teachers, the false Christ, the false prophets, that's verse 24, not only heralding very specific messages, but also doing signs and wonders as they go about proclaiming. And Jesus says, don't listen to them, but there's something that follows these false proclaimers. And in verse 29, we find that immediately after the tribulation of those days, there are going to be some heavenly signs. Then, verse 30, see, there's another then.
There's another then.
The sign of the Son of Man is separate from these heavenly signs. And then we find in verse 31, then he sends angels with the sound of a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And I use the word then in verse 31 because, Leslie, as we look at the full counsel of the Word of God, we don't find the tata, the then, in verse 31 in Matthew 24, but we do find it in the chronological articulating of the same in Mark chapter 13. So that's why I use the word then in the context of this global gathering of the elect.
So let's see if we can help clarify this for people. What does God's word say will happen following the tribulation? And I believe that is in verse 29.
That's, again, we're trying to let the text speak for itself.
Right.
So amen, and there's a huge word there that talks to, speaks to the rapid following of these great tribulation
it
times.
Says it's, immediately.
That's the word. Immediately after the tribulation, so it's set in context, what is it preceding the tribulation? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. And then there's these heavenly signs. It says the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So, Leslie, if we let the text say what it says, we find that there's something that immediately follows this period of tribulation. And again, because of the context, the tribulation includes the general tribulation in verses 9 through 14, but then it also includes that period of great tribulation, which is cut short. And again, we encourage the listening audience to go to the text, read the text, and actually, Leslie, I kid you not, the text clarifies that some of the popular end time positions today are actually building a false chronology in light of the words of our Lord. So let's go back to the text. Let the text, let our Lord say what he says concerning what will be the signs of your coming in the end of the age.
Does the text specifically state how long after this tribulation this deception is going to take place?
That's, again, where the text, we go to the text, we can conjecture.
Of course.
We can give our own opinions and thoughts, but that doesn't matter.
No, it's the word.
It's a matter of the word. So we look at the text, and it says, there's, again, the place where another then is used. Then there will be great tribulation. The days are cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look here, there is the Christ, or look there, don't believe it. Jesus is saying this. So the word then is not as specific as immediately after the tribulation. So there's not a twisting of the text here, but our proposal for prayerful consideration, in light of the explicit data in the text, is it possible that the stellar signs of verse 29, which occur immediately after the tribulation of those days, actually happen before these false Christs, these false prophets of verses 23 through 28.
So if this does precede, chronologically, mm-hmm. the content of verses 23 through 28, on what textual grounds is this possible? Can you explain that to our audience?
Well, if you were to read some of the commentaries, explanations of the text, you'll find that there's a cutting and pasting that's going on in many of these addresses. Rose Publishing, for example, has put out a very beautiful end time text for Bible colleges and seminaries. Problem is that it's not allowing the text to say what the text says. And again, that's the authority. It's not a textbook. So we go to the text and we say, is it possible that in light of the text, because these heavenly signs happen immediately after, that this happens prior to the false prophets? And then we say, okay, well, wait a minute. The false prophets are making a very specific appeal here. And what is that appeal? Well, the Lord is here. Christ is there. And Jesus says, don't believe it. What is that all about? How, on what grounds do they say he is here, he is there? It's our proposal for, again, prayerful exegetical consideration, that we think about the possibility, given the parameter of the text, not twisting the text, but letting the text say what it says. In verse 30, it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds in heaven with power and great glory. Is it possible, Leslie, and this is what we put on our website when we do a Bible study worksheet, a three-page thing that's available online.
Which I do have, and folks, if you really want to look at this, you need to go to the website, which we'll give you that address a little later, because it's an excellent document to use.
It's a very helpful tool,
yes,
to bring out some very important aspects of our Lord's counsel concerning the days of the end that aren't being emphasized today as they should be, because the Lord said it, that settles it. So anyway, our thought is that even not only immediately after the tribulation will these stellar signs happen, but this other sign of the Son of Man will also take place, and we believe that it's an appearing, an initial appearing, if you would. And then the appearance, the initial appearing, stops. That creates a vacuum, Leslie, where these false prophets can say then, because of the grounds of the experience of his heavenly appearing, the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, they can say, well, Christ is here, Christ is there. And it doesn't stretch the text. Because the word then, as far as these false Christs, doesn't say immediately after the tribulation like it does in verse 29. The heavenly signs happen immediately after the tribulation, whereas in general, sometime after the tribulation, these false Christs come on the scene. And Leslie, if we go to other portions of the text, like the book of Revelation, we find that fits chronologically in a wonderful way. But we need to let the text say what it says and not try to pick and choose and cut and paste and build the text in accord with our theological chronologies that more and more so, Leslie, aren't biblical, explicitly biblical. Wow.
Wow. Yeah. You know, brings to mind the passage, and forgive me, I can't tell you, quote it where it is, but it's, you know, many will be deceived. In those days, even the elect, many of the elect.
If possible.
Yep. So this kind of all fits in my mind, that this would happen after. Yep. But I'm sure that we're rattling some bones out there of people. But it's good to have challenges to our traditional belief systems, mm-hmm, and to question and to go to the Word of God.
Yes, Leslie.
First and foremost, always.
Amen. My wife and I were blessed this last Sunday at a church where the pastor actually said, we need to put secondary some of our traditions and let the text say what it says. And that's what we've been encouraging through the Endurance Ministry appeal. Because there are these theological traditions that aren't biblically affirmed. So we really need to go there. And then, as Christ would have us in his full revelation to us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, we also want to look at this text and not just build a chronology. And that's what's emphasized in verses 4 through 31. But we also want to apply some of the themes and responses to some of these events that unfold. So as a result, we're saying, okay, when we go into these early days of tribulation, which it's possible we're in now, I can't say, but it's very possible given the whole global climate, We have some interesting things happen. There will be betrayals. There will be offense. The lawlessness would be so great that the love of many would grow cold. These are verses 10, 11, and 12. Well, I'm experiencing that just left and right.
Every day.
A fast food company that we went to just a couple days ago, we were going to purchase these $5 gift cards to give to the street homeless people. And the manager came out and he actually said, because these people are causing trouble on our facility area, he didn't even want to sell me. He didn't want to sell us these gift cards. He discouraged us. So we left not purchasing these gift cards that we were going to give to. So the aspect of lawlessness, sometimes can easily feed the diminishing of love. But it says, no, endure to the end. Those who, even though there's great lawlessness, continue in love. Because it says that the love of many will grow cold, but the Lord doesn't want us to stop loving.
Now it says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come.
Yes.
But what an amazing thing to think that out of the love of your heart, having seen someone who was homeless on the street, instead of just handing them cash, you went to somewhere to get them the ability to purchase food.
Mm-hmm.
And there, at that place, they talked you out of it because they don't want to deal with the unlovely.
But unlovely, but sometimes the unlovely express lawless, ungodly stuff.
Yes,
and that's
they
what
do.
His main concern. He says, I am responsible for the safety of my customers that come in and my company, so even if you use these cards at other places, I'm still putting in harm's way, because some of these transients are dangerous.
Yes.
And so, the lawlessness that we're seeing mushrooming everywhere.
Absolutely.
But let's not let our love grow cold.
No.
Okay.
No.
I have to be a little bit more inconvenienced, so what? Now that I go to the store, I'll buy a burger and a fry and a drink and then go to the homeless person around the corner, you know, two blocks down and give, as opposed to just my convenience of just whipping out a little gift card. Okay, so be it. But, oh, Lord, help me to guard against my love growing cold.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that can happen.
Amen.
You know, as we talk about the signs of the Son of Man in the sky, I'm thinking about, as I was driving into the studio this morning, and here hanging in the western sky over our West Hills was the moon. Now, last night, I came home after being at an event with you and your board, and here was the moon rising. And it was beautiful, and I stood there, and as I was praising God, because it was very lovely the way it was sitting up there with a star near it and the clouds around it. But this morning, on the western horizon, the moon was huge. And it was just awe-inspiring to me. And so I think about these signs in the sky, and I'm not just talking the moon, but the Son of Man in the sky. Can you give us a little bit more, you know, about the important message of this for our audience?
Thank you for asking that, because over the years, we have had these experiences of woof-woof things.
Oh, yes.
Where people will say, hey, this is a fulfillment of that and this and that. And then it falls by the wayside. The false prophetic announcements fail. People are discouraged and they say, you know, I don't want to be associated with these people. And then they get away from the word. Well, the word has beautiful counsel. So we have those who say, okay, let me use your example. I know you're not saying the large moon was an aspect of the immediately after the tribulation, you know, this heavenly science. I know you're saying, but there are some who say that and there are some real popular views even today, like the blood moons,
yes,
which we'll address,
which we're going to address later, aren't we?
And hopefully as a live live show, because that would allow for some callers to come in. I'm meeting with a group tonight that believes in the blood moons. Well, we want to say, but what does Scripture say?
What does Scripture say?
Thanks be to God for His revelation, because there's insight there. Well, in the context of verse 29, since you've mentioned the moon, the heavenly signs, well, let's read it in its context. Verse 29, so what if there's a big moon? So what if there's a blood moon? If the other aspects of these signs aren't present, then don't see it as a fulfillment of a particular passage. That might be a false interpretation of a prophetic fulfillment. And so I'm asking the blood moon people, is it really that these four blood moons of 2014 and 2015 are fulfillments of, say, Matthew 24:29, of Revelation chapter 6? The context answers that question, and it's an emphatic no. Why? Because there are other aspects, not just the moon. There are the heavenly signs. The stars will fall. The sun will be blackened. There's earthquakes, according to Joel 2 and Acts. It doesn't jive with the signs that we're seeing now, that some are saying, this is biblical prophecy, so guess what? We're in the very ends of the day. No, no, no. Let's go back to the Word and see what the Word actually says.
You know, John, as always, when you're with me, you challenge our minds and our hearts to seek the truth in God's Word and not make it be what we want to tickle our ears, you know. And we probably have ruffled a few feathers out there today, but I would rather have my feathers ruffled than molt. And if you've ever seen a bird that's molting, think of a turkey buzzard. If you've seen one of them, they are not a pretty sight. But
most scary.
Oh, yeah. So could you give us a quick word of encouragement, of hope, as we endure the end times?
Yes. God is faithful to His Word. And He not
Amen.
Only gives chronological insight that's very pertinent for us today, He gives application things. So maybe, Leslie, Lord willing, the next time we broadcast together, maybe we can go into the following parabolic material that talks about, well, what are the things that, Lord, you want emphasized as we go through these days? Because verses 32 and following talk about some very important themes that need to be heeded. So maybe we can go in that direction. But I guess in answer to your question, take listening audience, take encouragement in God's Word, but discern the difference between interpretations of God's Word and what God's Word actually says. Sometimes there's a big difference.
So, John, how can folks get a hold of you?
A good way to get a hold of us is we've actually opened two new web sites that are a little bit more contemporary in appearance. EnduranceMinistries.org is a good place to start, and that will lead you to many other passages that talk about important aspects. The EndMin.com, E-N-D-M-I-N.com, has frequently asked questions. One of the answers includes this Bible study sheet that we made reference to earlier in the program. So go there.
Perfect, perfect. Well, you know, John, our time has come to an end, but yep. I'm not going to make you go away, because I'm going to keep you coming back, because we want to hear God's Word. And you know, folks, Heart of the Savior Ministries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that's dedicated to bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ each week here on KPDQ AM True Talk Radio. And your financial support and prayers are greatly appreciated, and we love to hear from you as to how this ministry is impacting your lives for God's kingdoms. You know, you can send your financial support or questions and comments to Heart of the Savior Ministries, P.O. Box 729, Fairview, Oregon, 97024, or you can email us at reverendnelson@heartofthesaviorministries.org. So, folks, we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father, and that you'll make God's Word a part of your every breath that you take this week, and to challenge you, as John has today, that you seek God's Word first for His revelation and not be tickled by the world.
And not press on in that first love.
Absolutely. Yep. Repeat that.
Well, in Revelation 2 and 3, we have counsel from our Lord as to the churches in the end times, in the historical setting, but today too. Don't lose our first love, and let's maintain our love, even though godlessness is everywhere.
Amen, amen. So as always, in His service, This is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.